Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is a live translation of the Arafah sermon delivered on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, 1444 Hijri, by His Excellency, Sheikh Professor Yusuf ibn Muhammad ibn Abdul Aziz ibn Sa'id. May Allah protect him from all harm. This live translation is presented to you by the Department of Languages and Translation here at the Presidency of the Two Holy Mosques. The Khatib will ascend the member shortly to deliver his sermon. In the meantime, we are going to read through some ahadith pertaining to the virtues of the day of Arafah. It is narrated by Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Tariq ibn Shihab, who said, a man from among the Jews came to Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, and said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, indeed you read an ayah in your book, and had this ayah been revealed to us, we would have taken that day as a festival. So Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, said, and which verse is that? So he replied, the saying of Allah, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa radhitu lakum al-Islam deena. This day I have perfected your religion for you and completed my favor upon you. Then Umar said, I swear by Allah, indeed I know on what day it was revealed to the Messenger of Allah, may Allah salat and salam be upon him, and the hour in which it was revealed to him, may Allah salat and salam be upon him, it was revealed in the evening of Arafah on a Friday. On this noble, blessed day, there are many of Allah's worshipping servants who are saved from hellfire. Allah is generous to His believing servants, and He boasts about them in front of the angels that are near to Him. It has been narrated by Muslim in his authentic book of hadith on the authority of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that the Prophet, may Allah salat and salam be upon him, said, there is no day on which Allah frees as many slaves from the hellfire as the day of Arafah. Indeed, he comes close to them, boasts about them to the angels, and then says, what do they want? Likewise, the Prophet, may Allah salat and salam be upon him, said, the best supplication is the supplication of the day of Arafah, and the best thing which I and the prophets before me have said is La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. There is none worthy of worship in truth except Allah alone. He has no partner, and to Him belongs the dominion. To Him belongs the praise, and He is capable over all things. The Khatib has arrived and is ascending the minbar. All praise belongs to Allah, the Almighty, the one who bestows abundantly. He made unity a cause for salvation and division a cause for punishment. He, the absolutely perfect, commanded that our ranks be united and our word be one as a cohesive alliance, and made forbidden everything that leads to discords and divisions. I testify that none deserves to be worshipped in truth except Allah alone, in whom we place our hopes, in whom we fear. He, the Exalted, stated, and your deity is one deity. None deserves to be worshipped but He, the immensely merciful, the bestower of mercy. I further testify that Muhammad is Allah's worshipping servant and messenger, who commanded His followers to be united and cooperative and prohibited them from discords and conflicts. Thus, through Him, Allah has united His followers' hearts and rectified their affairs, and ordered him to convey his message and fulfill the trust. He stated, say, O people, I am indeed the messenger of Allah sent to you all. He is the owner of the heavens and the earth. None deserves to be worshipped but him alone, the one who grants life and death. May Allah send his salat and salam upon him, his family, his companions, and his followers. To proceed, O Muslims, observe taqwa of Allah by obeying him and adhering to his legislation and being mindful of his boundaries, so that you may become among the righteous, rectifying servants who attain victory in this world and the hereafter. Allah the Exalted stated, those are the boundaries set by Allah, and whoever obeys Allah and his messenger, he will admit him to gardens beneath which rivers flow, abiding eternally therein, and that is the great attainment. Among the features of being mindful of Allah's boundaries is to not direct any aspect of worship to other than Allah. He, the Exalted, stated, Verily, the judgment is for none but Allah. He has commanded that you worship none but Him. That is the upright religion, but most people do not know. Thus, it is only the people of Tawheed, i.e. those who worship Allah alone, that are rightly guided, who attain salvation and a praiseworthy end. He the Exalted stated, "We have certainly sent to every nation a messenger who proclaimed to them, worship Allah alone and shun every taghut, i.e. false deity. Some among them Allah guided, and others deserve to be left in misguidance. Thus, travel throughout earth and see what was the outcome of those who disbelieved and rejected their messengers." Also Allah stated while affirming the testimony of Tawheed that none deserves to be worshipped in truth except Allah. "Do not invoke another deity with Allah. None deserves to be worshipped but He. Everything shall perish except His face. To Him belongs the judgment and to Him you will all be returned." Likewise, he affirmed the testimony of messengership for his Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's salat and salam be upon him, in his saying, "Muhammad is the messenger of Allah." And his saying, "Muhammad is not the father of any man among you, however, he is the messenger of Allah and the seal of all prophets. Indeed, Allah is well acquainted with everything." This testimony necessitates that we believe in what he informs us of, obey his commands, avoid his prohibitions, and that we do not worship Allah except through what he came with. Among the matters that he came with is the 5 daily prayers that are to be performed throughout the day and night. Likewise, given the obligatory zakat, where the wealthy contribute a small portion of their wealth as a means of support and solidarity with their less fortunate brothers and sisters, and as a contribution to the general welfare, Allah the Exalted stated, "In establish prayer and give zakat." Also, among the matters that Allah commanded with is fasting the month of Ramadan. Allah the Exalted stated, "Whoever among you witnesses the month, they are to fast it." Likewise, performing Hajj to the sacred house of Allah. Allah the Exalted stated, "And Hajj to the house, i.e. Kaaba, is a duty that mankind owes to Allah, obligated upon those who have the ability to undertake its journey." The aforementioned are the pillars of Islam. As the Messenger of Allah, may Allah's salat and salam be upon him, said, "Islam is to testify that none deserves to be worshipped in truth except Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, to establish prayer, to give zakat, to fast Ramadan, and to perform Hajj to the sacred house if one has the ability." Likewise, he said, "Iman is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, to believe in the last day and the Qadr, His divine decree, the good of it and the bad. As for Ihsan, it is to worship Allah as though you see Him, and even though you cannot see Him, He certainly sees you. O people of Iman, O Hajj pilgrims to the sacred house of Allah." The sermon of the Prophet, may Allah's salat and salam be upon him, when he performed Hajj, comprised the following words: "O people, indeed your Lord is one, your father Adam is one, no Arab has superiority over a non-Arab, nor does a non-Arab have superiority over an Arab. Similarly, no white person is superior to a black person, nor is a black person superior to a white person except by taqwa. I have certainly conveyed the message. Indeed, Allah has made inviolable between yourselves your blood, your wealth, your honor, just as He has made this day of yours inviolable in this inviolable land of yours and in this inviolable month of yours." This was collected by Ahmad with an authentic chain. Therefore, the difference in languages, colors, and ethnicities does not justify falling into discords and divisions. Rather, it is a sign from the signs of Allah in this universe. As Allah the Exalted stated, "Among His signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the diversity of your languages and your colors. Indeed, in that are signs for those who possess knowledge." Additionally, the Islamic texts emphasize the command for unity, love, harmony, and prohibit disputes, divisions, and differing. Allah the Exalted stated, and hold firmly to the rope of Allah altogether, and do not become divided, and remember the favor of Allah upon you when you were enemies and He brought your hearts together and you became by His favor brothers. Moreover, the Prophet, may Allah salat and salam be upon him, said, Allah is pleased for you to worship Him alone and not ascribe any partners to Him, and that you hold firmly to the rope of Allah altogether and do not become divided. For this reason, Allah reminds His Prophet, may Allah salat and salam be upon him, of His favor upon him when He made His companions unite around Him. Allah stated, then indeed Allah is sufficient for you. He is the one who aided you with His support and through the people of Iman. He has united their hearts. If you had spent all that is on earth, you could not have united their hearts. However, Allah has united them. Indeed, He is the Almighty, the Most Wise. Furthermore, Allah forbade us from becoming divided in His statement. Indeed, those who have divided their religion and become sects, you have no part with them in the least. Their matter is only with Allah, and then He will inform them about what they used to do. Likewise, He, the Absolutely Perfect, stated, do not be like those who became divided and differed after clear proofs had come to them. For them is a great punishment. That is because religious and worldly affairs can only function if our word is unified, leading to mutual interests being realized and harm eliminated. Through this unity, cooperation is established based on piety and taqwa. Likewise, through it, truth triumphs and falsehood is defeated, enemies are infuriated, and the efforts of the envious and malicious schemers are thwarted. However, when unity is broken, personal whims and animosities prevail, and intentions become conflicting, resulting in the shedding of forbidden blood. Moreover, inviolable wealth becomes unlawfully permissible, and sanctities are violated, making it difficult for nations to progress in life or to adhere to acts of obedience. Hence the Prophet, may Allah salat and salam be upon him, said, the example of people of Iman in their affection, mercy and compassion for each other is that of a single body. When any limb of it aches, the whole body reacts with sleeplessness and fever. He also said, a person of Iman to his fellow person of Iman is like a building whose different parts enforce each other. Additionally, the hand of Allah is with the jama'ah, i.e. main body of Muslims, and the shaitan is with those who separate themselves from the jama'ah. The significance of unity becomes apparent through the negative consequences of division and differing affecting individuals, families, and societies. Allah the Exalted affirms in the Quran, verily those who dispute concerning the scripture are in extreme dissension, far from the truth. From this standpoint, Islam has implemented appropriate preventative measures and robust defensive strategies to halt the influence of destructive intentions and acts of sabotage that aim to tear apart communities by erecting a resilient barrier that inhibits the disintegration of a structure and the destabilization of its pillars at the individual, familial, societal, national, and even global levels. Also, from this standpoint, Allah commanded the Muslims in times of dispute to return back to the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah the Exalted stated, If you differ in anything among yourselves, refer it back to Allah and His Messenger. If you have Iman in Allah and in the last day, that is better and more suitable for final determination. Likewise, He stated, any matter you disagree in, its ruling is to be referred back to Allah. That is Allah, my Lord. Upon Him alone I have relied, and to Him I repent. Similarly, He stated, we have not revealed to you the book, O Muhammad, except for you to make clear to them what they have differed in, and as guidance and mercy for people who have Iman. In addition, Allah has commanded them to maintain good conduct, interact with one another in an exemplary manner, and demonstrate compassion and mercy towards one another. Allah the Exalted stated, thus by mercy from Allah, O Muhammad, you were lenient with them, And had you been harsh and hard-hearted, they would have certainly dispersed from around you. Therefore, pardon them and ask forgiveness for them and console them in the matter. Allah also encourages them to embody the virtues of patience and forgiveness when it comes to people's mistakes. He, the Exalted, stated, "Obey Allah and His Messenger and do not dispute, lest you lose courage and your strength departs, and be patient. Indeed, Allah is with the patient." Furthermore, he stated, "Hasten to forgiveness from your Lord and a garden that is as wide as the heavens and the earth, prepared for the people of taqwa. Those who spend from their wealth during times of prosperity and hardship, and those who restrain their anger, and those who pardon people, and Allah loves the people of ihsan." In order to achieve the objective of unifying our world, Islam has emphasized the importance of strengthening social, familial, and spiritual bonds. It commanded us to uphold ties of kinship and clarified the rights of spouses, parents, sons, and daughters. Likewise, it commanded us to extend kindness to relatives, neighbors, and the needy. Allah the Exalted stated, "Worship Allah and associate nothing with Him, and to parents do good, and to relatives, orphans, the needy, the near neighbor, the neighbor further away, the companion at your side, the traveler, and those whom your right hands possess. Indeed, Allah does not like those who are self-deluding and boastful." Similarly, the hadith says, "None of you has complete iman until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself." Islam also commands us to cooperate with each other in everything that is good, as Allah the Exalted stated, "Cooperate in righteousness and taqwa, and do not cooperate in sin and transgression." It also forbids us from engaging in evil and offensive speech. Allah stated, "Tell my worshipping servants to say that which is best. Indeed, shaitan encourages dissension among them. Indeed, shaitan is ever to mankind a clear enemy." Moreover, Islam forbade us from following rumors and disinformation that aim to divide our ranks. Allah the Exalted stated, "O people of Iman, if there comes to you a disobedient person with information, verify it, lest you harm anyone out of ignorance and become, over what you have done, regretful." From this standpoint, people of Iman are cautioned against malicious campaigns in all their forms and methods aimed at dividing their ranks and inciting one group against another. Allah has prescribed several collective acts of obedience, such as your gathering today on the plains of Arafat and your congregational and Friday prayers. One of the means to foster unity is the social solidarity mandated by Islam, which includes the payment of zakat and other charitable contributions, establishment of trusts, and giving of voluntary alms. In support of this, Allah the Exalted stated, "O people of Iman, spend from that which we have provided for you before a day arrives where there will be no buying or selling, nor companionship or intercession. Indeed, the disbelievers, they are the wrongdoers." For this reason, Islam came to remind those who are in conflict with each other that they are brothers, and encourage them to reconcile with one another in times of disputes. Allah the Exalted stated, "The people of Iman are but brothers, so make peace between your brothers and observe taqwa of Allah, so that you may receive mercy." It is obligatory upon Muslims to raise their children with a serious upbringing that fosters unity. Allah the Exalted stated, "Indeed, this is your ummah, and it is one ummah, and I am your Lord, so worship me alone." He also stated, "Indeed, this is my straight path, so follow it and do not follow other ways, for they will lead you away from his way. This is what he has enjoined upon you so that you may attain taqwa." Additionally, an emphasis was placed on the obligation of hearing and obeying the rulers and those in authority in order to achieve the unity of our world. Allah the Exalted stated, "O people of Iman, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority among you." It is authentically reported that the Prophet, may Allah's salat and salam be upon him, said, "It is obligatory upon Muslims to listen and obey their rulers in matters that they love or dislike, as long as they are not commanded to commit a sin. Included in this is the unification of hearts upon them, the rulers, encouraging people to obey them and cooperating with them to improve the conditions of the people and their lands. It also involves supplicating for them. Undoubtedly, we are commanded to be united and prohibited from being divided in all circumstances, which is more emphasized during the season of Hajj and the places of rituals. Thus, Hajj pilgrims are to avoid any matter or action that distracts them from performing their rites. Instead, they are to dedicate themselves to worshipping their Lord and avoid anything that may disturb the tranquility of their fellow guests of Ar-Rahman. Thus, O Muslims and those who have influence, fear Allah regarding the Ummah by striving to unite their word, extinguishing strife and silencing its callers. Remember the saying of the Prophet, may Allah salat and salam be upon him, make things easy and do not make them difficult, give glad tidings and do not drive people away. Likewise, he said, cooperate you two and do not dispute with one another. Thus, let those who are in conflict with each other fear Allah by preserving lives and striving for reconciliation, acting upon the saying of the Exalted, if two factions among the people of Iman should fight, then reconcile between them. It is better for you to be a follower of truth than to be a leader of falsehood. Certainly, whoever leaves something for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it for him with something better. O Hajj pilgrims to the sacred house of Allah, after the Messenger of Allah, may Allah's salat and salam be upon him, delivered his sermon in Arafah, he commanded Bilal to call out the Adhan and then the Iqamah for the prayer. He performed the Dhuhr prayer, shortened to 2 units. Then he prayed the Asr prayer, also shortened to 2 units. Then he remained in Arafah on his camel, remembering Allah and supplicating him until the sun set. Then he proceeded to Muzdalifah, where he advised his companions to be gentle by saying, O people, observe tranquility and serenity, for righteousness is not achieved through haste. When he arrived at Muzdalifah, he performed the Maghrib prayer as 3 units and the Isha prayer as 2 units, combined and shortened. He spent the night in Muzdalifah and performed the Fajr prayer at its earliest time. Then he supplicated Allah until it became bright. He then went to Mina, where he stoned Jamaratul Aqaba with 7 pebbles after sunrise. He slaughtered his sacrificial animal and shaved his head. He then performed Tawaful Ifadah and stayed in Mina during the days of Tashriq, performing Dhikr of Allah and stoning the 3 Jamarat after midday. He supplicated at the small Jamarah and the middle Jamarah, and he granted permission for those with valid excuses to leave Mina before spending the night there. The sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, may Allah's salat and salam be upon him, was to stay in Mina until the 13th day, which is preferred, as he allowed hastening the departure on the 12th day. When he completed his Hajj and intended to travel, he performed Tawaful Wida' around the Kaaba before leaving. O Hajj pilgrims to the sacred house of Allah, indeed you are in a noble place during a virtuous time where forgiveness of sins and acceptance of supplications are hoped for. That is why the Prophet, may Allah salat and salam be upon him, did not fast on the day of Arafah during his Hajj in order to devote himself to performing dhikr of Allah and supplicating him. Therefore, increase in invoking your Lord for yourselves, for your loved ones, for those who have rights over you, and for Muslims in general, that Allah rectifies their affairs and unifies their word upon truth. Also, do not forget to supplicate for those who have extended kindness to you, as mentioned in the hadith, whoever does for you a good deed, repay him. If you cannot, then supplicate for him. Indeed, among those who have extended kindness to Muslims are the people that are devoutedly serving the 2 holy mosques, ensuring the comfort of the guests of Ar-Rahman. And the foremost among them being the custodian of the 2 holy mosques, his deputy, and those who work with them, thus supplicate Allah for them. O Allah, the ever-living, the self-sufficient sustainer of all, the owner of all majesty and honor, We ask you to grant your special assistance to the custodian of the two holy mosques, King Salman ibn Abdulaziz. O Allah, be with him as a supporter, helper and facilitator in every good endeavor. O Allah, reward him with the best of rewards for his efforts in uniting the ranks of the Muslims. O Allah, bless his deputy, the Crown Prince Muhammad bin Salman. O Allah, strengthen his resolve through him and make him a means for uniting the ranks of the Muslims. O Allah, accept the Hajj of those who came to perform it. Make the affairs easy for them and protect them from any harm or evil. O Allah, grant them a safe and sound return back to their countries, having their sins forgiven and their needs fulfilled. O Allah, forgive the Muslim men and women, and forgive the people of Iman, both men and women. Unite their ranks, rectify their hearts, take care of their affairs, grant them security in their lands, unify their word, protect their lives, bless their provisions, and guide them to the best of speech, actions, and manners. Perfect is your Lord, the Almighty, who is exalted above every falsehood they ascribe to him. He grants his salam to all of his messengers, and all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all creation.